Christ, the Son of God, are involved in an ongoing study of our Lord Jesus Christ by means of the books of Psalms. We are at 1825 tonight for yet another installment in the series within a series, the sub-series on Chesed. Chesed, we have finally signed it down as of this Lord's Day, on translating it as loving kindness. And if you would turn in your copy of the Scriptures, please, as we springboard from Psalm 18:25, which we won't read tonight, to our study on this huge aspect of God, this gigantic component of the nature of Yahweh, this enormous facet of the character of our Lord Jesus Christ, Chesed, or loving kindness. To Psalm 106, and so just get there, Psalm 106. We're also going through the Psalms at this point, having gone through the rest of the Old Testament where we find this word. Before we pick up on our cataloging of all of these uses in the book of Psalms, or the books of Psalms more accurately, wanted to talk to you a little bit about the ways that this gets translated in the New Testament. And you might say, well, however it gets translated in the New Testament, why don't you translate it that way? And we don't see loving kindness as a translation in the New Testament. Well, you don't see loving kindness as a translation in the New Testament, because the New Testament wasn't written in English, and it's an English word. But the words that we translate other than loving kindness, when we're translating from Greek in the New Testament into English, those are different words too. So let us answer, since we've asked it, answer this question: why don't we translate it the way the New Testament translates it? The answer is that the New Testament doesn't translate it any one way. It translates it by a number of different words. In Hosea 6:6, for instance, we see God saying, "I desire chesed and not sacrifice." And then when the Lord Jesus Christ quotes that, and it is translated either by the Lord's translating it into Greek as He spoke it, or the Lord's quoting it in Hebrew as chesed, and then Matthew translating it into Greek. In Matthew 9:13 and 12:7, two times the Lord Jesus Christ quotes that verse that has chesed in it, and it is translated by the Greek eleos, which we translate as mercy. I would be hard-pressed to find a contemporary translation that would translate it, not a paraphrase, but a translation that would translate that as anything other than mercy into English. But then, in Acts 13:34, Paul is, while preaching in the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia, he quotes Isaiah 55:3. We would say, "I will give you the sure chesed," plural, "of David." It's translated in the New Testament as Hosea. Hosea is their holinesses. Those individual expressions of divine holiness. So we see Chesed in the Old Testament translated two different ways in the New. Then, in Exodus 33:19, we don't find the word Chesed, but we find the Lord, you're used to reading it like this, you're probably more used to hearing it, or maybe reading it both ways, it's both translated the same way, in your English, in Romans 9:15. So Exodus 33:19 is quoted in Romans 9:15. Romans 9:15, I will have mercy. Eleo. That's the verb form of eleos, this word that we always translate as mercy. I'll have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will show compassion, oikdermao, on whomever I will show compassion. Now, when that is quoting Exodus 33:19, it's, I will chanan, and that's a word that we translate, it's the verb form of the word that I will consistently translate for you as grace. So I will have grace upon whomever I will have grace, and I will show raham, to whomever I will show raham. Raham is the word I would translate compassion, or dermao, to show compassion. So why do I bring this up here? Because the word that gets translated, or the word that translates chesed in Hosea 6:6, quoted by the Lord in Matthew 9:13 and 12:7, eleos, a form of that word, the verb form of that word, is used to translate this word that is more like grace. So if we just started this and we were to say, okay, Hosea 6:6, chesed gets translated as eleos, mercy. Well, other words get translated as eleos, mercy too. Like this one. So it's not the idea that where there is one like divinely selected Greek word that will translate this one divinely inspired Hebrew word. Then in Hosea 1:2, it is definitely alluded to in 1 Peter 2:10. The idea of those who were not receiving, in the New Testament, it's mercy, will receive mercy, and those who were not God's people, there they will be called God's people. It is racham again, this word for compassion. So when you read in your New King James Version, it's a very good translation, good literal translation, and a New Testament that's translated from the majority text. That's why we recommend it to you, those two things. Actually, there's more than that. Literal translation, majority text, New Testament. Believers translated it, and Bible believers who believe in inerrancy, infallibility, verbal plenary, inspiration are translating it with the reverence of translation that that results in. It will translate this in the Old Testament, call her name, this is the name of the daughter of Hosea, Lo Ruhamah, and then it gets translated as no mercy. I would translate that no compassion. And in 1 Peter, that is translated by Eleo again. So, Eleos then, the results are in the New Testament translates chesed once, chen, that is the word for grace, once, and raham once. This would then mean that since Elaos is used to translate Hanan and Hain, is translated by both Elaos and Charis, that is, mercy and grace, there isn't one word that translates this. Chesed then is translated in the New Testament as Elaos, or mercy, in Matthew 9 and 12, Hosea, in Acts 13, 34, and one time as doxa, in 1 Peter 1:24, Isaiah 40 in verse 6, it says, the grass withers, the flower fades, and it speaks about the glory of that flower, literally the chesed of that flower, the kindliness of that flower, what you think it's pleasant. You think it attractive. You like it. This falls off. In the New Testament, they translate that as doxa, that is glory, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 24. So we've got to not just say, well, we're going to translate this by some word that we have translated, that was used to translate. No, okay, that does not make sense. We can't say, we have to use some English word that we have used to translate some Greek word that was used to translate chesed, because that's not going to be consistent. Which one are you going to translate it with? So we've got to take all of those things that we find about chesed, take them all together. This is one of the reasons why I did this, looking at all these verses, and then say, all right, usage and definitions. What's the one word that best captures this idea that the Hebrew word chesed communicates, in my opinion, and it is opinion. It's not like there's one divinely stamped, you know, Timothy has gotten the word. Or, there's another word in English that's better than that. Timothy didn't get that word. It's not like that. It's a translation. God understands that we can't perfectly, no one. Evidently, God can't perfectly translate it, right? That sounds blasphemous, doesn't it? But the New Testament uses different words to translate that. If we take them all together, maybe we've got the whole idea of that word, chesed. So, we're going to land at loving kindness as my preferred translation. Sometimes, probably like in 1825, that we jumped off into this subseries with, maybe as kindness. So either kindness or loving kindness. Most of the time, loving kindness. Let's start looking at our verses and learning more as to usage about chesed. This is such a gargantuan part of who our God is, that to know Him, you're going to have to know chesed. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise Yahweh. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for He is good. I have a hard time not saying that the way that, with the cadence that the Lutheran pastor used to say that in the Lutheran church when I was yet an unbeliever. That is not to say that Lutherans are all unbelievers, but I was both Lutheran and unbeliever at one time. He used to say all the time as part of the liturgy, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." And don't say it, Amy. Amy's getting ready to chant the answer right now, like we used to chant the answer in the Lutheran Church, and for His mercy endures forever, is what would be chanted. We have this just as we had it in Psalm 136 in every verse that we had as our reading this past Lord's Day, because His loving kindness is to everlasting. In verse 7 of the same chapter, our fathers in Egypt did not understand Your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of Your chesed, Understand there's no such word as chesed, right? I'm just pluralizing it in English, but using the Hebrew word. We have here thus a multitude, a plurality, an increase, an abundance of chesed in individual acts. They didn't remember that, but rebelled by the Red Sea. That shows us that then whenever we sin, whenever we rebel, it is as if we are forgetting God's chesed. Then verses 44 and 45 of the same chapter. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and for their sake he remembered his covenant and relented according to the multitude of his cheseds. He's got this stockpiled store of cheseds. And accordingly, he relents. Now, last week, I told you about the statement someone made to me that, you know, all the time, whenever you sin, you never get away with this. Really? Listen, you all would have been dead decades ago if you never got away with sin. If you never just had a free pass when you sinned. And that free pass is called chesed. According to the abundance, I tell you, of his chesed, he just plain, straight out, doesn't punish when he could. Now, in one sense, he punished all of your sins, but on another, on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself. Oh, by the way, let me say that, as I said, God Himself. Here I am to worship. I believe it. I believe you're all here to worship in the highest form of worship, that is, John 4:24, giving heed to His Word. Here I am to bow down, as you all sing it, standing up and nobody goes to the floor. Here I am to say that you're my God, okay? Jesus is my God. There it is. I'm here to say that. Jesus is my God. My God, your God, our God, Jesus the Christ, took on flesh for the very purpose of taking all of the punishment for our sins. Now, we have to stop talking about what we receive as a result of our sins, as a divine response to our sins as punishment. God has responded to our sins. He saw, even before they happened, He saw in omniscience, saw all of our sins. And His response to that was to punish our sins in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus to give us grace. Now that grace has established that God doesn't ever have to punish our sins, He never does. You will never be punished for your sins. You never are punished for your sins. We are never punished for our sins. Sometimes we are disciplined for our sins, and you want to say, well, you're just doing word games now. This is just rhetoric. What's the matter with rhetoric? Why do people say, this is just rhetoric? Rhetoric is a good thing. Rhetoric is speaking. I dare you to communicate to me without rhetoric. Rhetoric is usually confined to public speaking. Of course it's all rhetoric. That's what I'm doing right now. It's rhetoric. But the way people use that is, you're just turning phrases. You're just twisting things around to make them what they aren't. No, I'm saying you don't ever get punished for your sins. because you have received the grace of God. Not because Jesus Christ died for your sins. Follow me? You never get punished for your sins because you've received the grace of God. Not because Jesus Christ was punished for your sins. Because Jesus Christ was punished for the sins of unsaved people too, and they will be punished for their sins. So the fact that Jesus died for our sins makes it justly possible, according to the eternal cosmic defined by God, divine justice, makes it just not to punish us for our sins. But it does not demand that those whose sins were punished not be punished. Forgiveness is the result of grace. So I say, we will never be punished for our sins. I know these are theological fine points, but theological fine points are very important. They're not just rhetoric. We'll never be punished for our sins because we've received the grace of God and have forgiveness of all our sins. Now, there are those among us recalcitrant. There are believers who are stubborn. There are believers who like their sin more than they like our God. And they will continue in sin, and God in discipline is not punishing them. But He is chastening. There is an instructive rather than a retributive or retributive. There is a didactic motive rather than a punitive motive to any divine response that can sting as to our sin. God, it sounds like you're being such a defender of the holiness of God to say, you'll never really get away with sin, you know. I'm saying it's not a defense of God's holiness. I'm saying it's a blasphemy of God's grace and chesed. This verse tells us, because of chesed, because He's filled with this attitude toward His children of wanting to be kind, He just flat out doesn't even discipline as much as we need. God disciplined us as much as we, like every time that we sinned, even if it was light, you've sinned enough so that the accumulation of all that light discipline would kill you. I'm saying the opposite of this. We never really get away with sin. I'm saying we get away with sin all the time. Because God is just so incredibly kind. And He just loves us so much. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh! I'm going to do this differently than that Lutheran cadence. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He's good. Okay? For His mercy endures forever. That is, His chesed is to everlasting. So will you ever run out of it? Will you ever out-sin His chesed? That's really not the question, is it? It's will you ever out-sin the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and its application to you in grace? No. Now, will you ever get to the place where, in experience, you exhaust His chesed? This verse and many others tell us no. This becomes, as you're beginning to see, this is almost like a chesedic mantra. You're seeing it all the time. I'll give thanks to Yahweh for He is good because His chesed is to everlasting. It's always there. And so verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to Yahweh for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Here translated goodness, I ask the question again, why do they do this? Why in verse 1 is it translated mercy and the same word translated goodness in verse 8? I don't know. We'll have to find the translators and ask them someday, and I'm not that motivated to do that. I don't think you are either. Psalm 107, again, verse 15. Oh, that men would give thanks to Yahweh for His goodness, chesed, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. You say, you just read that. No, it's a different verse, but it says exactly the same thing. Verse 21. Oh, that men would give thanks to Yahweh for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Then verse 31. Oh, that men would give thanks to Yahweh for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Like, would that it would be, according to spiritual propriety, according to that which is divinely appropriate, for people to, recognizing chesed, to express their gratitude to Him. How do you apply a message like this? Well, when we're done with it, when you go home tonight, like when you get in bed and you lay your head on the pillow or the backrest, as it's the case with me, and you are, just before you're going to go to bed, just thank Him for His chesed. That's how you apply it. There are other ways to apply it. Verse 43, 107:43. Whoever is wise will observe these things. Yes. Here's a wisdom test. Do you sit up and take notice of chesed? If so, it is an indicator of your wisdom, and they will understand the chesed, here translated loving kindness, our preferred translation of Yahweh. Okay, so now three times in one chapter, translated different ways, right? Psalm 108, verses 3 and 4. I will praise You, O Yahweh, among the peoples. I will sing praises to You among the nations. This is quoted in Romans. For Your chesed is great above the heavens, and Your truth to the clouds. All right, so if we're to have it on a timeline, all right, here's you right now. You are here, right there. See that dot right there? That's you. That's us today. Draw a line that way, put an arrow on it, because it never ends. Draw a line that way, put an arrow at the end of it, because it never ends. So from everlasting past, eternity past, to eternity future, that's where you got chesed back there. This is how long it's going to last on the other side. Linearly, in time, it's eternal because it's something of God, and it's everlasting because it's never going to stop. But if we want to think of it in terms of height, it's to the sky. It's beyond the clouds. It's the kind of chesed that you can't jump in sin high enough to ever exhaust it if you are one of those who are the people of God by grace. Let's go to 109:21. 109:21. But You, O Yahweh, the Lord, deal with me for Your name's sake, because Your chesed is good. Deliver me. Alright? What's one of the manifestations of chesed? Deliverance. Deliverance is a word that is butchered today, like slain and sacrificed on the altar of ignorance in Christian churches today. You hear about deliverance ministries that are poppycock. You hear about deliverance from this or from that that we don't even need delivered from. It's just a matter of make a choice. Stop doing that. You hear about everything being blamed on demons, because if not, we'd have to admit that we're bad enough to do that. And so we need deliverance from whatever it is, and this is not what deliverance is at all. Deliverance is actually a lot bigger than they make it. Deliverance is when God rescues us from any problem. Those chesed that aren't an obligation on God's part. That is, there isn't a promise in the Scripture that when you're in this situation, He'll get you out of that. But He does anyway. And the ones where there's a promise to it. Whenever there is a divinely effected deliverance, you're looking at a manifestation of chesed. 109:26, help me, O Yahweh my God, O save me according to your chesed. Help and temporal salvation is another revelation of chesed. Psalm 115, verse 1, not unto us, O Yahweh, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your chesed, because of your truth. When people recognize the lovingly kind nature of God, it's to His glory. I mentioned it to my Muslim friend Majid, who many of you know, he's becoming a volleyball regular now. I mentioned to him that I had mentioned him on the Lord's Day, and he has no problem with that. And I'll mention him again. Here's where he's at now, since many of you are wondering and concerned and anxious that he believes. He's not a Muslim anymore, but he's not a Christian either. He's open to both. And I must say that out of all of the religions out there, the thinking person will be reduced to these two. One of these two has to be right. All right? The others are just ridiculous. And just crazy stupidity. I mean, really. These two are monotheistic. You say, what about Judaism? Yeah, it's fulfilled in this one, called Christianity. But, so he's saying, I don't know which is right. They both are based on a book. I don't know which book is really from God. But he says this. He says, but I hope Christianity is the right one, so that I can believe in it. The God that I see portrayed is so much better than the God that I see in the Quran. You people have freedom. You're happy. You love each other. It's like, and why wouldn't you? Because God is loving you, and God is gracious to you, and God is merciful to you. And I hope that this is true. I want it to be true. He said, I want to be a Christian. I just don't know if it's true. And yeah, you know why that is? Because chesed's all over the place. I would never characterize. I've spoken with many Muslims, and they all say exactly the same thing until Majid. I would never get from the Muslim consciousness, from the Muslim demeanor, from the Muslim theology, from the Quran, I would never get that God has any chesed, even though it says that He does. It doesn't use that word. This is the air we breathe. I mean, this is the atmosphere. This is what we live in. We live in this chesed. And it gives glory to God when people recognize it, even unsaved people. Right? Majid's saying, I'm seeing that he's not using our words. He doesn't know the Hebrew word chesed. But the concept, he's saying, that really commends this Christian God. This Christian God, I want the real God to be that God. I like that God. That, why wouldn't you? we have the greatest God. I mean, we have the only one. We have the only real one, right? But I'm saying, even if the world has to make one up, you can't make one up this good. His name is glorified, yes, because of His truth, but because of the truth of His chesed. Psalm 117, praise Him, or praise Yahweh, all you Gentiles, laud Him, all you peoples. This too quoted in Romans 15. For His merciful kindness, here's somebody, here's probably a different translator who translated the rest of Psalms, entering into the NKJV camp, sitting down at the translator's boardroom, and he's saying, I'm having a hard time capturing this word. I'm going to have to use more than one word here. His merciful kindness is translating chesed, is great toward us, and the truth of Yahweh is forever. Praise Yahweh. Psalm 118, verses 1 through 4. Okay. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for He is good. For His chesed is forever. There's the Hasidic mantra again. We've gotten this down. We've embraced it. We've realized it. This is how long God's chesed lasts. Let Israel now say His chesed is forever. Let the house of Aaron now say His chesed is forever. Let those who fear Yahweh now say His chesed lives forever. It endures forever. 118:29. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for He is good, for His chesed endures forever. That this word chesed starts with, you can hear it, it's that sound. You can't get Amy to make that sound. All throughout Hebrew class, whenever we came up across that sound, you come across that in two letters of the Hebrew alphabet, she'd just make it a K or an H sound. You couldn't get Amy to say that. This microphone does real good because every once in a while it goes like that. That's that chesed. It emphasizes chesed. His chesed is enduring forever. All right, now Psalm 119. I have a flurry of them in 119. But they start at 41. Let your chesed come also to me, O Yahweh, your salvation according to your word. Like, yeah, bring on these things that are demonstrations of chesed, because you've promised them to me. And they will result in my salvation. We're not talking about eternal salvation. We're not talking about a positional thing in Christ. We're talking in the Old Testament, usually when we're talking about salvation, we're talking about some temporal deliverance in time, an experiential rescue from some problem or distress. You see that is thus one of the ways that you see chesed demonstrated. 119:64. The earth, O Yahweh, is full of your chesed. So, you know what I want to do? I want to learn your statutes. Teach me your statutes. Tell me what to do, God. Give me a commandment. Tell me something to do. Because I want to obey a God like this. You note that chesed come before statutes? Teach me your statutes. Tell me what you want me to do. I'll gladly do it. I'll do anything for you. You name it, God. You say jump, I'll say how high. You tell me, God, what to do. Teach me your statutes. Because it is a joy, this is one of the reasons why His commandments are not burdensome. It is a delight to do something that God wants you to do because of gratitude for chesed. 119:76. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness, chesed, be for my comfort, according to your word to your servant. Okay, now, there is an emotional administration of God's chesed
when we're distressed, when we're panicking, when we're overwrought, when we're overwhelmed, when we're afraid, when we're scared. Chesed takes the shape of comfort. Now, I will hasten to say this as well. God may meet you with chesed comfort. You can reject it. You can, when He's given you all the comfort in the world and outside of it, you can still be more loyal to your anxieties than you are to God's comfort, or than you are to, let's say, your soul's health. I don't like the word, you know I'm not a fan of such, but if you just get on board and in line with God's thinking, I'll use it, not for lack of a better term, because I have better terms, but so you understand what I'm saying, that results in psychological health. God reworks and renovates the soul. He gives psychic prosperity. I know that sounds weird, but it just means soulish. He gives soulical health. And a great part of that is the emotional compartment of the soul. He does it by chesed. He does it in things like comfort. Let us not be our own worst enemy and reject that chesedic comfort. Psalm 119:88. Revive me according to your chesed, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. All right, now if we're to be revived, never mind that it happens by chesed right now. If we're to be revived at all, and that results in keeping the testimony of His mouth, then this death, which I need revivified from, that is, I need a fresh impartation of life. You understand that they usually don't talk about this. I've never heard this adjective used of a man before, but it could be. But you hear of women, some women, being vivacious. Vivacious. V-I-V. All right? From the French viva. All right? The idea of life. When a woman is vivacious, she's very lively. She's bubbly. She's alive. Or when we talk about vivification, that's the impartation of life to something. Or revivification, that's like the fire is dying. We've got to revive it. It's going to be revivified. We're going to get the fire alive again. All right? Revive me so that I can do this. The implication is, I haven't been keeping your testimonies. That is, I have been in conscious sin against your commandments. I don't want to be there anymore. The new man is talking. So, God, I'm asking you to reboot my life, to kickstart my life for me, to jumpstart me in life of knowing you and your Son, Jesus Christ, again. When God revivifies or revitalizes our spiritual life, that is by chesed. Much of what we're talking about with chesed, it doesn't have to mean, and this is why I don't want to translate it as mercy, it doesn't have to mean that it's undeserved. Because we should have this, according to Jeremiah 2, to God who deserves this and more, that deserves everything. So it doesn't have to carry with it the connotation of mercy wherein this is not deserved. But it's not an obligation. It's not like, God, you have to do this. God doesn't have to do this. So when God does things that He's not by truth obligated to do, and He just freely, kindly blesses you some way, that's chesed. The request is that God, you know, I got myself into this. I have, look at the last verse of this. It doesn't have chesed in it, but look at the last verse of Psalm 119. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. He's saying, I've sinned. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. This is the picture of a miserable state, where you don't forget His commandments, you're aware of them all the time. But you keep sinning, and you find it difficult to break off those sins, as Daniel would put it to Nebuchadnezzar. He asks God to seek Him. Like, don't let me flounder out here. Don't just let me die. Don't just say, I'm writing that guy off. Come after me, God. When God does stuff like that, that He's not obligated to do, He could say, he doesn't say this in the Scripture, but the idea is that of what humans have said, and sometimes He has spoken in terms like this in the Scripture. You made your bed, now lie in it. He could allow you to do that. If He is not obligated to do so, but He wants to, and He usually does, that's chesed. 119:124. Deal with your servant according to your chesed and teach me your statutes. God, since you're not obligated to do this, I'm asking you to deal with me like all the time. Make it your policy. God, what kind of wonderful prayer is this? The fact this is even in the Bible, that we could even ask something like this of God. God, whenever I'm a total jerk-a-mir, when I'm just a crumb, and I am a lousy example of a believer, would you just always, just make it a policy to just always deal with me in a chesed? 119:149. Hear my voice according to your chesed. O Yahweh, revive me according to your justice. It is a fascinating study in Psalm 119, all of the divine attributes that are involved in His reviving us. We've seen that it's chesed. It's also according to your word. It's also according to your truth. It's also according to your judgments. It's also here according to your justice. And it is according to your chesed. It is so chesed and justice are reviving virtues of God. 119:159. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Yahweh, according to your chesed. Then jump up to 130. Psalm 130. Verse 7. O Israel, hope in Yahweh, for with Yahweh is chesed, and with Him abundant redemption. Yes, like being redeemed, bought out from all of our sins, from penalty and power and one day presence of sin. Now, I know we did this on the Lord's Day, but I've got to do this now because you've got to see the things that are called chesed. Psalm 136. Here's the mantra, the Hasidic mantra. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for He is good, for His chesed is forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His chesed is forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His chesed is forever. To Him who alone does great wonders. Now, why does He do great wonders for us? Because His chesed is forever. When God does something and you say, you ever meet a believer like this? I know you have. They're here. It's happened to you. I'm going to tell you what God did. God did something for it. This was God did this. That's chesed. That He is functioning in, operative in. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens, why did He in wisdom make the heavens? The heavens were humanly oriented toward the earth according to Genesis 1. Because of manifold expressions of chesed to humans. Creation is chesed. It's wisdom, but it's chesed. That you have water, that you have food, that food comes out of the earth. Money doesn't grow on trees, but food does. You know, that you can go, if you were just absolutely like, I have no money. I'm homeless, I have no money, I walk around. You know, there's things like apple trees, pear trees, trees that you can eat from. Things like this, the atmosphere, they talk about how this is the only planet that scientists know of that is designed to support life, they say, as we know it, that is our life. This is the only planet that can do it. Well, God can make any planet like that, or God could make different life forms with different situations that support those life forms, but do you know why the earth is constructed the way it is? It's for humans, because of chesed. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters. Because His chesed lives forever. You know, in other words, the reason why we don't live on the ocean. We're not floating around on things, you know. But we're living on terra firma. We live on the earth by God's design. Chesed. To Him who made great lights. The reason in Genesis 1 is to give light upon the earth. So that they can shine upon the earth. So they can be for signs and seasons and months and years. So that you could tell time. Chesed. Why should you have to tell time? Why should you have to know when winter's coming? So you could prepare for it. The lights in the sky tell you that it's becoming that time. Scientists can do it. You say, that's not how I know. I know because of months. I know that it's October. It's going to start getting cold. And you know how you know it's October now? Because from years ago, they figured it out that if we go by moon cycles and we count up the days that it takes to do all 12 of those moon cycles, then that we call that a month. And how do you know that? Moon cycles come from the reflected light. It comes from the sky, from the sun. And so you know when I'm going to have to start preparing because it's going to get cold around here. Because God's showing chesed to man to let them be able to figure this out. The moon and stars to rule by night because His chesed is forever. In verse 9, in verse 8, the sun to rule by day because His chesed is forever. Verse 10, to Him who struck Egypt in their firstborn. Why did God strike Egypt's firstborn? Chesed to Israel. And brought out Israel from among. Why did He bring out Israel from slavery? Chesed. Who, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. Why did He show His power in Egypt? Chesed is forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two. Made Israel pass through the midst of it. Verse 14, overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. 16, who led His people through the wilderness, who struck down the great king. 17, 18, slew famous kings. 19, Sihon, king of the Amorites, is one of them. 20, Og, king of Bashan, is another. And gave their land as a heritage. Verse 21, a heritage to Israel, His servant. After every one of those verses, is all of this, He's doing all of this for Israel because of chesed. Verse 23, who remembered us in our lowly state when He takes pity on you. I don't want your pity. You know what? I want your pity. If I'm pitiful, I want your pity. And thank you for your pity, though you could probably do nothing for me in many of the cases that make me so pitiful. But God can take care of my situation if I'm to be pitied. I have actually said to God in the past, I'm not too proud to say, I've said, God, pity me. And He did. There's something in my mind that made me say that I'm not sharing with you, but He did. You know why? Chesed. You're getting the idea that the answer to every one of these questions is chesed. Like when I was teaching in the Christian school, it doesn't exist anymore. There's another one that exists now. My granddaughter goes there. But when my kids were coming up, part of Indiana County Christian School, the kids got the idea, like, Mr. Metcalf comes in once a week and he teaches us the Bible, and he's always talking about Jesus Christ. The answer to everything is Jesus Christ. You could say something like, what do you remember what the children of Israel ate when they were in the wilderness? Haley, what about you? Jesus? No, he's not the answer to radically every question. Chesed is not the answer to radically every question. Haley never did that. Because Haley wasn't in, right? You weren't ever in, okay. Just picking Haley out. But Chesed is the answer to all of our questions here. Verse 24, rescued us from our enemies. Chesed. Gives food to all flesh. People that hate him. People who curse him, blasphemers. God just being nice, being good, just being kind. I'm going to feed you anyway. Chesed. Yes, Majid. Why wouldn't anyone want a God like this? Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name. What am I going to praise about your name? Now, the name indicates the person. So what are we praising God for concerning who He is and what He's like? For your chesed and your truth. I'm praising you, God, because you are so about chesed. If you think of it, just think about the world. Just think about the millions, billions. I'm going to go so far as to say trillions. I know they don't live on the earth right now. But I'm going to go so far as to say the trillions of people that have ever lived on planet earth. Think of all of the things that were worthy of judgment. And the earth is still around. I mean, people are still getting away with proverbial murder. When you think, okay, percentage-wise, this is somewhat subjective, but it is an educated subjectivity. And it's very spontaneous as well. I didn't plan to say this. But if I were to ask myself, if we were to think about percentages, what percentage of God is judgment or anger, and what percentage of God is chesed? I'm thinking it's like, that's hard because I think about eternity. And most people are not saved. The vast majority are not saved. But if we limit it to the earth, I'm going to say it's like 98% chesed and 2% judgment. I can't say that. I haven't seen 2% of the things in my life that I could say, that's judgment. I see chesed all the time, everywhere. I see God just dispensing chesed like it's going out of style. I see God like as just a chesed dispenser to people who hate His guts, literally. Psalm 138:8. I knew that. No, wait a minute. Okay. Yahweh will perfect that which concerns me. Your chesed, O Yahweh, is forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. God, as long as we're alive, there's hope. You think, if I were to say, I will not have you raise hands here. I don't like to ever do that, really, unless it's something very virtually no embarrassment quotient possible. But if I were to say, which of you thinks that you're the worst sinner in the world? Hands would go up here if I said raise hands. Now really, honestly, in the whole world, we're just talking about, this is like, there's like 30 people in this room. What are the chances of the worst sinner in the world being in this room, out of all the world, okay? You're very aware of your own failures. You are very aware of your shortcomings. So am I. This verse 138:8, Yahweh will perfect that which concerns me. If you're still alive, then you can still change your mind. I don't care how poorly you performed. That God will, and I guarantee you He will, that God will receive you. That God will not despise that. And He'll start all over again, working with you to shape you into what He wants you to be, to mold you into His perfect image of you as a member of the body of Christ. That's how He does with us. This, like, we don't want to say echoes because it's before Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6 echoes this, that God will perfect that which concerns us. That good work, you know, that God has begun in us, He will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. That's a chesed. Learning so much about chesed here. 141:5. Yahweh, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. That's 141:1. Why did I read that? 1:5. Let the righteous smite me. Smite me, That's when you have the King James smite and the New King James strike. You're remembering smite and you're reading strike and you come out with smike. Hey, double, all right? Don't just strike me. Don't just smite me. Smike me. When God smites me, it will be a chesed. This is why I'm telling you, even if you become the object of discipline, chastening is a chesed. You don't want to be left in that miserable state of sin, do you? God doesn't want you to be left there either. You're miserable. You know you're miserable. It's going to be a mercy to you. It's a kindness to you that He smites you. 143:8. Cause me to hear your chesed in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you, God. How do I lift up my soul to you? Like this. You know, I lift up my soul to you. God, I'm telling you about myself. You already know about myself. It's hard. I do this all the time. I'm talking to the Lord. I'm walking around, and I always find myself informing Him. So I said, wait a minute, this is hard. And I told Him the other day as I was walking, I was right back there about where Patricia is as I was walking around this room. And I got back there, I said, God, it's difficult to talk to someone who's omniscient. You know everything. I guess I should just get down to asking you for things. When I lift up my soul to God, I'm just telling Him, I'm a wreck. I'm a mess. Stuff around me is a wreck and a ruin. It's just destroyed. This is one, at once just chesedically beautiful thing. My life, and I've made a total destruction of it. I lift up my soul to you. I can't come to you on any basis of merit. I'm not asking you because I deserve it. I have not earned this. I can't earn a scintilla of grace, else grace is no more grace. Debt earning is no more debt earning. I've got to ask you, God, on the basis of unadulterated, sheer, pure chesed. And the thing is, God wants us to relate to His chesed. Psalm 14. 143:12. In your chesed, cut off my enemies. New Testament application. In your loving kindness, just trounce demons in front of me. I have prayed things like, I hope demons are scared about it, actually. You know when, sometimes I'm praying for one of you, and I'll just use our beloved Georgiana here because we don't get to use her as an example usually on Wednesday nights, so we'll take advantage of it. Now, if I'm praying for Georgiana, and I sometimes think, might God actually answer this? Might God do this? I'm going to ask it in hopes that God would do it. I don't know that He would. I usually say, God, I don't know that I can ask this. But if this doesn't mess up the eternal plan, would you take the demons, the personal demons, the spirit intelligences, the fallen unclean spirits that are messing with her right now, would you put them into the abyss early, like right now? They were always afraid of that, right? When the Lord came, they seemed to think it was a possibility, like, you come to torment us before that! Or I'll say, God, would you just torment, whatever torment means for you to do that to demons, would you torment the demons that are plaguing Georgiana right now? I don't know if He'll answer it that way, but I like to think that He could. And it's one of those, if it's your will, God, I'll give this a try. You know, toss that out. But at least His chesed means this, that He foils what they do, as Jude reports that Michael said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. God rebuked them, foiled their plans, make it so that you disallow, you veto, you don't permit anything that they come to you with request on for this beloved one for whom I pray. And destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. 144:2. This is David speaking about what God is. God is my chesed and my fortress. Okay, now it's personal. Right? Since all chesed comes from Him, and He's so full of this, He is my chesed. He is my, and here they translate it with my preferred translation, loving kindness. My high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge. That's just more definition on what it means for God to be that chesed who subdues my people under me. Two more, and we are done with Psalms. 145:8-9. 145:8-9. Yahweh is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in chesed. Yahweh is good to all, and His tender mercies are all over His works. The divine fingerprints of tender mercies are everywhere. Look at these things of the Divine Clemency Network that God is and that we are to relate to this way. Gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, great in chesed. Here translated mercy. Good to all, tender mercies over all His works. Do you have eyes to see it? Do you have spiritual perception? Do you have recognition of our God when He walks in this? Last one, Psalm 147, verse 11. Now watch, this is definitive. Watch what this does for you. Watch how this changes the way you think. Yahweh takes pleasure in those who fear Him. Those ones who fear Him now are defined like this. In those who hope in His chesed. What does it mean to fear God? I ought to show this to Magic. What does it mean to fear God? It means to expect that He's going to be kind to you. Alright, so we're going to put the fear of God in that boy. Really? You're going to make him expect that God is going to be merciful to him. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There's no anticipation of loving kindness before their eyes. To fear God by biblical definition is to think that you're going to get chesed. It's to anticipate that you're going to get mercy. It's to expect that you're going to be loved. That's fearing God by God's definition right here. This is amazing. We talk about amazing grace. There's a song written about it. That's why we talk about it that way. This is amazing chesed. Absolutely astounding, fascinating, stupendous, incredible, virtually incredible, because we do believe it. Chesed. This chesed is precious. This chesed. We're not done with chesed. We'll never be done with chesed. It gets hard to say chesed after saying this about 300 times in the night. That's why Amy never did it one time. We're not done with chesed. But I do anticipate that next week we will apply all that we have learned to Psalm 18:25. And maybe go beyond it, but maybe just deal with that and 18:26 next week. I just want to encourage you, to exhort you in the teaching to believe it. Something is said to be in our crazy world too good to be true. Usually it is. This sounds too good to be true. I'm telling you this is true. I want you to simply believe it. I want you to count it fact that this is the way God is and thinks toward us. The one having ears to be hearing, let him be hearing.